Give her the gift of jewelry this holiday season.
How about putting a sports car under the tree for that guy in your life?
You can't afford to not take advantage of these amazing sales.
And don't forget about our no questions asked return policy.
Oh yeah, it's that time of year again. Hi, I'm Bill Anderson, subbing for Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Today, the Cash Money Click panelists are here to talk about holiday spending and budgeting. Budgeting somewhere between Ebenezer Scrooge before and after those spectral visits. We look at past spending mistakes, present habits, and future planning. Planning designed to eliminate the hangover from excessive shopping. Do you have a ghostly chance of mending bad habits? Our pros think so, and they have some practical advice. We'll talk about it today on Central Standard. But first, a news update from NPR News. Good morning and welcome to Central Standard. I'm Bill Anderson, substituting for Jabalani LaFall. Today we'll find the redeemable fiscal Scrooge in all of us as we take a look at holiday budgets and spending from past, present, and future. Our guides, the Cash Money Click, they're here to present budgeting tips and some long-term planning involving the holiday season. David Jackson is financial advisor at Waddell & Reed. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Happy holidays.
Hey, thank you much.
Sandy Weaver joins us. Sandy is a certified public accountant, a certified financial planner, as are all our guests this morning, and owner of Security Financial Advisors. Hi.
Good morning, Bill.
And Alex Petrovic is here. Alex works and owns, I'm assuming you work at, and as well as own, Petrovic Financial Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
And happy holidays to you, too,
yeah, it's
sir.
It's great to be here.
Let's start with you, Alex. There are some fundamental mistakes many of us make as we look to share our love. And perhaps among them, too much emphasis on material goods, material things.
Yeah, I think that's probably central to our theme here, is that there's so much emphasis on buying the right gift or how much money we give. And we've kind of maybe lost the thought of what the real theme of the holidays are. And I think that's what it's hard to overcome that, especially in this economy. Or in this country that puts so much emphasis on material things.
Right, right. Yeah, Sandy, follow-up to that, psychologically we're kind of we're manipulated by commercials, marketers, pressure from our family members even.
Oh, yes, yes. Lots of times we get trapped in tradition. We just mindlessly do what we did before. So, you know, your brother grows up and marries and has three children, and all of a sudden you find yourself giving five gifts year in, year out, year in, year out. But at some point, there's no need for that. So,
David?
Well, I agree. I think many of us get so wrapped up into the holiday spirit that we forget our financial future and, you know, what we're trying to accomplish as far as our big picture. And we look up a year later and we're still paying for last year's Christmas. And, you know,
yeah.
It's like if you're doing that, you've done something wrong.
Well, what you're saying is, Sandy, we need to plan. Need a budget.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Dave Ramsey said that 50% of last year's holiday gifts, which were put on credit card, were not paid off in the next month. So that means that as consumers, you know, we're buying ourselves, you know, interest expense on those Christmas bills, and we're not getting to deduct that. That's not a taxable deduction. So what's the problem?
So, Alex, what is happening is we're taking advantage of some of these great, these fantastic sales, some not so fantastic. But then in the long term, if we're putting them on a credit card, we're actually paying more.
Certainly, yeah. And it feels good at the time because you can delay the pain, but eventually that pain is going to come home to roost.
Right.
And it's interesting, even this year, it used to be, what is it, Black Friday? Now, is it now Black Thursday?
Or Great
Thursday
or something.
Yeah, Thanksgiving Day, right? Mm-hmm. Even more pressure.
You know, Bill, here's one example I'd like to give our listeners. It's like, because you got all these places that have these zero interest deals out there
right.
now. Where you can have zero interest for a year. So let's just take a person.
I was tempted last night. I saw one on television.
Yeah.
Zero interest.
I know. It sounds so good. And it is, actually.
Eat the product.
If you do it right.
Salivating.
No, that's not good. That's not good.
That's not good, then.
But let's just say you buy a big screen TV for $1,000. I like to use simple numbers so people can get the gist of it. And after that year of zero interest, you haven't paid it off. And, you know, so usually what in the fine print that most people don't realize is that if you don't pay that off in the 12 months, you're going to get hit with a 30% interest rate.
Yeah.
So on $1,000, 30% is $300 in 1 year. And then so going forward, if you're only paying the minimums on that $1,000 bill, that's $300, $300, $300. In 3 years, you've had accumulated $900 in interest on a $1,000 purchase. You've almost paid for that item twice. And so that's a mistake a lot of people make. And so here we're here representing the Financial Planning Association trying to advise people, don't make those kind of mistakes. It's just really foolish to use your money that way.
But, Sandy, let's say I have that money, that $1,000 sitting in reserve, and I'm just taking advantage of basically a $1,000 sale. Or David, maybe you want to answer this since you offered the first constructive criticism. Maybe it's not so bad if I've got this $1,000 sitting in a reserve fund.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. As long as you pay that off, it makes good financial sense to use somebody else's money if you're not going to be charged for it.
You're just saying, Sandy, or what David's implying is that if you know you're not going to be able to pay this off, just forget about it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But even if you have it sitting there in your bank savings, a couple things are more important if you're going to be have sound financial planning. One is that you need an emergency fund. So what happens if in March your car breaks down and you need that $1,000? It's earmarked now.
Right.
You know, so you're behind the eight ball. The other thing is thinking, you know, for today instead of thinking long term. What happens when you're 62 or you're 65 and you have made a series of decisions where you're buying for today or buying for the next 12 months and you end up short? You don't have enough to retire.
Right.
That happens so often that we are encouraged by advertisers to spend our money now instead of taking care of ourselves and having a sound financial future.
Alex, you look like you wanted to chime in on this.
Well, I think we're going to get into this, but obviously, you know, we talk about past mistakes. We look back, if we thought about what our mistakes were in previous holidays, in fact, if you overspend, you're pretty certain that you didn't have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, you're going to be susceptible to spontaneous buying, guilt, last-minute hot items, and so forth. So really, it's back. If we looked at what we did wrong, probably the first thing is if we didn't have a plan that would guide us, give us a process to stick to and avoid those temptations.
So that's first and foremost, developing a plan.
Right. And that involves a lot of things. And I know we have some good contributors here that will add to that. But there's a lot of pieces to planning, not just how much money you're going
to
spend.
Let's kind of take that A to Z. Where do we start?
Well,
I mean, we've made these terrible mistakes that we're still paying for last year. Now, how do we recover? How do we avoid making that mistake again?
Well, dealing with the right now, you know, you're in the holiday season and people are expecting gifts. So you need to sit down and say, well, how much am I willing to spend this year?
Yes.
You know, so you got to start with at least that framework of how much am I going to spend? Because if you don't have a plan, what's that expression? If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Right.
You know, when you get into the stores, they know how to get you to part with your money. You know, with all the commercials and the signs and the music and everything, they know how to make you part with your money. So you need to take control and say, okay, this is how much I've got to work with this year. And I'm not going over that. So at least having a framework to start with.
Okay.
And then you also, you know, you can think about, you know, your previous mistakes. You have to make a plan on how am I going to get out of debt, too. You know, if I've made mistakes in the past, what am I going to do now to correct those problems?
Sandy.
I agree with David. You know, you need to, number one, think of how you pay off those past mistakes. Number two, how much do you need to save for yourself for the future, for retirement? And then number three, then you can back into how much you have available to spend this year. And then if it's not as big as you would like it to be, then it's time to be creative and maybe go back to what Alex is saying and get back to the true spirit of the season. Not every gift needs to be material.
Yeah, what are some alternatives, really? When you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a purchased gift.
Well, in our family, I'm one of six siblings. And we're all alive, as well as then grandchildren. And so we had to come to a point at one point that we weren't going to buy everybody a gift. It was just even if you had the money, it becomes stressful. And so one of the things that we're talking about is experiences. And my mother, who we lost here about 10 years ago, she was every holiday season made povetitsa bread, which is an Eastern European walnut bread. And she, of course, she made the best bread. But so the six of us.
You're such a good son.
The six of us, yeah. Well, she did. And the six of us have not perfected that experience. So we've decided that we'll all get together. And it's so it's an experience about what was meaningful to us during the holiday season. And then with our own mother. So something that we can do together. And it's those remembrances of the holidays that are just as important as
and,
the,
and you said you have six siblings?
I'm one of six.
One of six. And everyone bought into it?
Well, only four of us live locally. So the other two are going to have to Skype, I guess.
Because based on my experience, that is the problem. I may subscribe to keeping it simple or to making a gift to some charitable cause in your name as my brother, Alex, but you're more interested in me giving you an Xbox.
Yeah, that is a really good point that we had chatted about before, is getting those expectations, getting those agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't get those agreements from other family members or friends. It's that friend that after they agreed not to do Christmas or holiday exchanges, then comes over on New Year's and puts this nice gift in your lap. And then all that guilt happens,
Yeah.
Right.
Kansas City, what has been the greatest challenge in sticking to your holiday budget? What do you think what made it difficult? Share your experiences. Call us, 816-235-2888. Email the show at centralstandard@kcur.org. David, is there any kind of software or tools that you would recommend we purchase or use at a deep discount, of course, to help us build a budget, a holiday budget?
Well, how about free? I was recommending to a client last week that they subscribe to Mint.com, M-I-N-T.com, which is a really useful budgeting tool that you can have it on your cell phone, on your smartphone, and it helps you track your expenses and things like that. There's several tools out there. I think Sandy had brought up a couple of them before we went on the air.
Right, Mint's a favorite one. Quicken has one, of course. And actually, some of our clients use Quicken, and they have such great control over their budget. They know where it's going, and they're far more mindful to make sure that every dollar is well spent in a meaningful way. But some of the other ones are Red Laser. That's a smartphone app that can help you when you're out shopping. One of the best pieces of advice or tips is to sit down at the kitchen table and make a list of who you're buying for, two or three ideas for each person, what those are probably going to cost you, and make sure that the sum total of those purchases is within that big fat number that you've said you're going to spend on Christmas.
Okay.
Planning before you even walk out the door is really crucial for a good experience.
Okay. What I found, too, it's not always just the gift-giving that kind of brings turns you upside down. It's also the if you throw a party. I mean, parties can be incredibly expensive.
Yes.
There are other things that have to be factored into this budget, I believe, beyond just purchasing gifts.
Yeah, we have a tendency in our family to do a New Year's Eve party for several of our family members, and it does have to be incorporated in the budget. Maybe you reduce how much you're going to spend on gifts because of these type of things. But you have to go into it with your eyes open and with a plan.
Mm-hmm. So, would you say, David? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. I suppose is that the worst mistake you've ever made is not accounting for having that holiday party, and it turned your budget upside down?
No, I've made bigger mistakes than that.
Yeah.
But it is something I do need to, need to be mindful about, though, because that is part of the Christmas spending. And then you think about all the parties you're going to be going to during the holidays and the outfits that you have to get or that my wife has to get. She's not listening today, so I can say that. But, all that comes into play.
Uh-huh. Sandy?
Well, it's time to go back then to what Alex said, though. You can have potluck parties, and that keeps that budget within reach. You can also, though, exchange names among family members.
Mm-hmm.
You can exchange lists among family members to make sure that if you are given a gift, it's something that you want, that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And also, though, I really would encourage people to think of giving services. The younger generation are whizzes at computers. They can come over and set up a printer for you, and you would be thrilled for that instead of a gift.
That's Sandy Weaver. She's the owner of Security Financial Advisors. Alex Petrovic is here. He's the owner of Petrovic Financial Services. And in the studio with us this morning from Waddell & Reed, David Jackson. And we invite your phone calls at 235-2888. Tell us about the greatest challenge you have in sticking to your holiday budget. You know, David, you referenced this earlier in the outset of the show that there's so much working against us. Stores will actually put up obstacles so that areas will get crowded, which forces you to stop, and then your eye catches these items that may or may not be on sale, but right. All of a sudden you're like interested. There are a lot of tricks. Even music is used.
Oh, you know what? My previous background was in retail management.
Oh.
And so, you know, well, they teach us all the tricks to get people to part with their money.
Yeah.
And it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. So,
yes.
You know, the executives are really clever in how they design the stores, the type of commercials they do, the displays, the smell of the store.
Oh, yeah, you know, smell is big. Cinnamon.
It's all tied to get you to part with your money. And so if you go in there, you know, if you're fighting these major companies who want you to spend, if you don't have a plan, if you, you know, you're defenseless against it.
Joy to the galaxy. I actually saw that. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, we've gone that far now. Sandy, you looked like you wanted to contribute.
Yeah,
to that.
One other piece of advice for those of us who are online shoppers is don't drink and go online. You know, just keep those two separate.
Good advice.
Don't drink and go out shopping either.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the economy. We've been in a recession, a prolonged recession here, and, you know, we're being told that, hey, go out and spend, you know, make people happy, and you're going to help the budget. You know, you're going to help the economy in the process. And this is the biggest time of year for most retailers. You know, it's a make or break kind of season. So how do we reconcile that with what you're telling us to do? I'm going to start with Alex.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, well, in America, with roughly, I think, 70% of GDP is personal consumption.
How much?
I think it's around 70%.
Is it? Okay.
So, you know, it's a poor business plan, obviously, to set up a country based on that sort of dynamics. But you just have to avoid it. And well, hopefully in the future, one of our topics for one of the future shows is behavioral finance. And it really starts with that. If you can't get a grip around that aspect of why you do what you do and why you can't do what you know you should do, then you're in trouble. I'm not sure there's a pill you can take to fix this.
Yeah. Sandy?
I'm still back to what the purpose of financial planning is. You know, you can blow it all this Christmas and you can keep paying for past mistakes and you can blow it all next Christmas. But, you know, when you get to be 60, 62, 65, those that have done an excellent job of managing their finances with a long-term, you know, horizon are the best. We have school teachers as clients and they were able to retire early because they've just always done an excellent job and they did not overspend.
Yeah, okay. Well said, Sandy.
David?
Well, you know, the average individual feels the pressure to spend right now. Mm-hmm. And without some type of a plan, without thinking, you know, about what your big picture concerns are, and you have to do it as an individual. You can't be going out there thinking, I'm going to save the economy by going out spending money.
Right.
You think about what is good for my family, what is good for my personal well-being. And, you know, one of the things we start with most of our clients, we start with, tell me what your goals are, what your long-term objectives are. And then we try to help them build a plan based on that. And, you know, if you can concentrate on what you're trying to accomplish in the future, it kind of makes dealing with the right now a little bit easier because it's like, well, I already got dollars allocated for some of these things, so I only have X number of dollars left to take care of, you know, say the holidays or whatever happens to be.
In researching this show, I came across a New York Times article from, I can't remember the date, but it referenced 1939 when Franklin Roosevelt actually moved up Thanksgiving, the perfectly movable feast, as he was quoted. And the whole point was, it's the New York Times said that it was quite transparent and it captured the mood. And Roosevelt found it quite good for the retail industry,
wow.
But Plymouth, of course, wasn't quite as excited about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is something that's kind of longstanding. It's like, go out and spend, people. Go out and spend, America.
It's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
Dave Ramsey says that over 50% of shoppers will overspend their budget.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big percentage.
That's kind of scary. It was, while we're on numbers, too, I heard a marketplace report about, I think, a week ago, and it referenced that people who are doing the shopping will actually spend 20% of the money they spend will be on themselves.
So, yeah.
Guilty as charged.
I think I've been there, too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm picking out a jacket for my son, it happens to be a nice little sweater next to it. It's like, yeah, okay, why not for dad, too?
Yeah. Hey, Rich is joining us from Overland Park. Good morning. You're on the air, Rich.
Hi, good morning. While I was converting myself from lighter cotton pants to wool pants today and thinking, gosh, I don't have a lot of wool pants, I was thinking, well, I'll buy them after Christmas or after New Year's. So the thought came to me, what do you think of telling people, I'm going to give you an IOU for a gift and I'm going to buy it for you after the 1st of January when there are things on sale?
Sure, I think that's a very doable option. I've heard another one that's somewhat similar to that is to give half of what you're going to give that individual or child or spouse or whatever before Christmas and then the other half when the sales go on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are all options that are creative and doable and should be encouraged.
Do you think my family would say to me, you're a real cheapskate?
They might.
Yeah, probably.
That is a problem. Remember, Bill, you're talking about getting the family
buy-in. They will say that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was my only thought.
I would argue that your family might actually appreciate that because if you give them cash for later purchases, they can buy a whole lot more with it after Christmas than before.
Ah.
Well, I'm certainly true. I mean, it really is true. You don't get the selection always. But
no, but,
But there's so much stuff out there, I mean, especially with clothing. I mean, you can really find something with the 5,000 stores there are out there to buy from.
Yeah.
Rich, and that's something, that, again, is to discuss maybe in June and July and not late November and mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other issue, too, I think, is this. When you go shopping, with the cost of gas, whether it's really worth seeking out a bargain, I mean, to look around, I mean, to go from place to place.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
That's valid.
Yeah, I weigh that thought a lot. I've got a fairly recent car with decent gas mileage, but even go 10 or 15 miles, I'm talking still $1 or $2.
Yeah, unless you can plan to capitalize on several sales items, I suppose.
Well, got to be mighty organized to do all that.
Yeah.
There should be an app. You know, I'm thinking about that right now. I got a new idea, and I'll put it out for free.
Okay.
Somebody ought to put out a sales app and keep track of all the sales.
I have to believe there's some form of that out there. But if not, you develop it, and we'll invite you on the program.
You'll be rich. You'll be rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay. All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, to piggyback on his thought, a lot of people, I wanted to bring this up anyway, a lot of people use gift cards for that very reason. If you give out a gift card, then a person can go out and spend that money, at their convenience. And a lot of times, it is going to be after Christmas where they're taking advantage of the sale. But there is a downside to gift cards, and that is that a large percentage of gift cards never get used.
27%.
Yeah,
really?
So it's pure profit to the company
that
issued it. Yeah, it's amazing. So, you have to be smart with those gift cards.
Yeah.
But I guess in one way it's no worse than giving somebody a tie that they never use. So I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes we're kind of led to believe that a sale is much steeper than it really is. Something in May may be priced at $10, and then it goes to $7, and then come holiday season, it goes to, it goes from $10, and then a couple months later goes down to $5, and then in the December season, it bumps up to $7.
So that they can put it on sale for five.
Yeah,
they play all kind of games.
Yeah, so it's all kind of and it's you're misdirected is what it is.
Oh yeah, you know. So some people are so geared towards give me that 50% off sale or that 30% off sale,
right?
And they don't think about, well, how much are you actually spending? You know, it's like just because it's a discount doesn't mean it's a good deal.
Yeah, yeah. It can be fun to spend money though. That I mean, I think we all have that instinct.
Yeah,
yeah. So discipline. It's all about that. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to catch our breath. And shortly, we'll be talking to you on the phone at 235-2888, 816-235-2888, Kansas City. We'd like to hear about your holiday budgeting strategies. Where have you had success? Have you fallen short somewhere? Let us know, 235-2888. Feel free to email the program, centralstandard@kcur.org. I'm Bill Anderson, substituting for Jabalani LaFall. This is KCUR. Central Standard returns in a moment. Jabalani LaFall returns tomorrow. I'm Bill Anderson. Good morning. It's Central Standard on KCUR and KCUR.org. The Cash Money Click panel is here. They have some tips, strategies designed to keep you out of deep debt in this holiday season. And they are David Jackson, financial advisor at Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic, he owns Petrovic Financial Services. Sandy Weaver is here, and Sandy is the owner of Security Financial Advisors. Sandy, I say barter, and you say?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Bartering a gift for Christmas with that good friend that shows up on New Year's Day when after you've agreed not to give gifts. Bartering can be a great idea, especially if you both have some talents.
Mm-hmm.
A personal anecdote of mine is a good friend knitted an afghan over the winter for me in the colors of my choice. That was the agreement if I spent a weekend putting gutter guards around her house. But it was wonderful, you know, because I wouldn't be able to have done that myself.
So. Yeah, yeah. David, you're chuckling, but I think you kind of buy into what she's saying.
It makes sense to be creative. You know? And one of the things I like to recommend, especially to grandparents, is as opposed to giving that toy to your grandchild, how about give them a gift that keeps on giving, like a 529 plan, or buy them some shares of stock.
Okay.
And
let's stop there. 529 plan. Tell us about it.
It's an education savings account that says if the money is used for education purposes, all the interest that your money accrues over the years, you pay no taxes on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick mutual funds to invest in to let your money grow. And so, like I said, it's a way to give a gift that just keeps on giving. It keeps earning interest.
And I don't think it's called this anymore. There used to be an UGMA account.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about those, Sandy?
Sure, yeah. Those are Uniform Transfers to Minors Act. You can put money in there. And those are for the benefit of your child till the age of majority, usually 18 or 21.
Okay.
They get taxed to the child, so the tax rate is lower. Lots of times, especially on capital gains, the tax rate can be zero, which is a nice thing. They need to be used. They have a broader mandate than the 529. They only need to be used for the child's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you set the account up, then you're the custodian. And we would also urge you to set a successor custodian at the time that you open the account so that if something happens to you, the account is governed then by the next person in line. But those are excellent. Good tax advantage.
Alex.
Adding on to David, the 529s are for college purposes only. And unfortunately, I think a lot of our listeners might also own Coverdales for education. And if Congress doesn't do something by December 31st, Coverdales will revert to only $500 a year, as well as only used for college education, whereas opposed now they can be used for high school. So if you do own a Coverdale for your children, you may want to look at that a little closer, what your options are if and when Congress doesn't extend those benefits.
Another fiscal cliff we're dealing with?
Yeah.
another smaller one.
Much smaller.
Careful, David. Back to the phones. Sherry joins us from Blue Spring.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Can you guys hear me?
Sure can.
Okay. I was just touching on the point earlier about the guy that called in and was asking, like, if it was cheap, if he, like, I can't remember if he said gift cards or money for them to buy things after the holidays. And I would say that definitely not. It's something that my family has been doing since the 70s, before gift cards, where I'm a girl and have five brothers, and my mother would always say, you know, here's the limit of money that we would spend, and I'll get you a little present for Christmas that you can open, and then you and I will go after, you know, the holidays and get, you know, school clothes, and it would work out better because you really would get a sale. Because I think some of the, like you were saying earlier, some of the sales are hyped up during the holidays, and then I think, but after the holidays, I think they really do go down. So it would be a time for me and my mom to spend together, and it would also been a time to get double of what you normally would have gotten.
Sherry, are you comfortable? You know, a lot of times gifts are a little bit on the impractical side, or they're more geared towards electronics and toys. Are you comfortable within your family structure exchanging clothing, you know, undergarments and that sort of thing as an example?
No.
No?
No. Well, I mean, I think at this point we have, you know, six kids. Wow. My mom has six kids, and then she has 19 grandchildren. So it was like, it's almost impossible to obviously buy for everybody, but typically, no, that would not be something that we would buy for each other.
Right. Okay.
But the other thing that I was mentioning to the guy was that my daughter's had 8 open heart surgeries at Children's Mercy, and so my in-laws every year donate a pretty substantial amount to Children's Mercy, and instead of getting me a gift, me and my ex-husband a gift, they would just send us a card and saying we donated so much to Children's Mercy, which of course meant more to us than gift.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yes. How cool is that?
Yeah. I mean, because normally I think there's a whole discussion about, well, if you donate, you know, is that kind of cheesy? If you donate to someone's, you know, charity, is that really a gift? But in this kind of a situation, you know, of course we appreciate it more than a gift.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for the contribution this morning.
Oh, no problem. Love your show.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Okay.
You know, there are a lot of different alternatives to giving, and I'm told by someone who works here that CharityNavigator.com is a good source for kind of doing a background check on places you want to contribute to. Hmm. Did anyone hear the piece on Morning Edition today talking about crowdfunding? And how that could potentially be turned into a way to give for the holidays. The emphasis wasn't necessarily on gift giving. But, I mean, as I thought about that, that is one option. If you have someone crowdfunding locally, that's a great way in someone's name to give a gift for a charitable reason. Mm-hmm. In fact, a person from the Red Cross was on there saying, hey, listen, if you can give locally and you know it's a good organization, by all means, go for it. Now the CharityNavigator.com leader was saying, just be very careful and do your homework because there's usually no data, no track record, no filing. Right. So it's kind of hard to find out to what extent how well the money's used and how legitimate an organization might be.
Yeah, be careful. But I was listening to that segment this morning, and it did sound like a really interesting idea. Though.
Yeah, it really did. Hey, we have another phone call. This one's from Cynthia in Prairie Village.
Yes, I have another take on the 529 idea, which I think is strong. Is an example. I'm also a financial advisor, and I had a client where the grandparents were just so competitive with each other. So my client sat them down and said, "How much money are you guys spending each year on gifts for the?" And by the way, they were twins. On the twins, and they figured it up. Says, "How about taking half that money and put it in the 529 plans?" And that's what they did. Now the grandparents are competing in the 529.
Way to go, Cynthia.
Yeah. But also one other idea I had, and again, I'm not telling the secrets here, but when I have young couples just starting out and they know they're going to have a family in the next couple of years, is they open up a 529 plan on each other. And then when the kids arrive, then change the beneficiaries. Therefore, they actually have the habit of saving for the education from the very beginning.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you'll send me the royalties, and we'll be all right. but thank you very much.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Could I go back to the caller before where they were giving money to be spent, you know, by the individuals after the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really good because it gave a couple of good benefits. One was it helped everybody stretch their money more.
Mm-hmm.
So they might get double the amount of gift or substantially more the amount of gift. The other thing, though, is if you're giving gift cards or money to younger people and their parents bring them shopping, it's really a great learning experience for a teenager to go shopping and to see how to stretch money more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would add that was Rich that made the comment. You know, the thing that resonates to me again is when he would say he was, might be accused of being cheap. So immediately it brings back into that behavior finance of you know, being called cheap, and so you are you have fear of disappointment to people, and or being thought of as cheap when what you're trying to do is get the biggest bang for the money. But it comes back to that pressure, that guilt. And it's a huge...
Well, and at one time or another, we've all felt that guilt and that pressure.
Every year.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One thing we did in my family is, and this might be pretty revealing, is one year we just decided not to buy gifts, but we had a white elephant exchange.
Uh-huh.
And so it's interesting to see what you've given that gets thrown back in the pile.
Yeah,
it's
right.
A good learning experience.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about spreading it out. I mean, we kind of referenced this earlier in the program, but talk about spreading it out, a sale purchase over the course of a year, because it doesn't all have to happen in the month of December. Like Sherry was saying, in January, she was one of our previous callers. She says she finds incredible sales. Maybe not incredible, but she does find sales in the month of January.
Of the shrewdest financial consumers out there, that's exactly what they do. Instead of doing it all in that 4-5 week period between Christmas and Thanksgiving,
right,
they're constantly, you know, they're shopping a little bit all year round, whereas it's not the big, big, you know, sudden expenditure.
Yeah.
So that's really a smart way to do it. And, you know, the multiple ways to do it, but you whatever it is, you have to plan it out.
Yeah.
That screams planning.
Yeah.
Somebody that's thinking that far ahead is planning, and that's really where we started the show.
There's another element to that plan, because I've tried that. I've only tried that one year. I forgot where I hid some of this stuff. So that was a pretty costly mistake.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, I see another birthday's rolling around in May. Doesn't seem to fit you anymore, honey. Oh, well.
Oops.
Kansas City, what holiday budgeting strategies would you like to share with us? And where have you had success? What hasn't worked for you? Phone the show, 235-2888-816-235-2888. It's Central Standard on KCUR. So, I mean, there's so much we can do. But again, I mean, if a family unit's not on the same page, do I go ahead and blaze a trail on my own with hopes that they'll learn by example, knowing that there will be, you know, a certain lack of success at least early on?
It's a simple communication. You know, my sister, after she had her third child, she just called me up and said, "Hey, you know what? Let's not do for each, you know, each niece and nephew this year."
Mm-hmm.
And I was so relieved when she said that. It should have been me who made that outreach to her, but she made it to me. And it's like she made it to my brother. And so, yeah, we all just got on board. So it was just a simple thing of her making the phone call saying, "Hey, what do you think of this?"
Sandy Weaver?
Yeah, I would urge you to do that, to blaze new trails. People might find that they like it, that it's more meaningful for them. What you might do is pre-announce it, because there's a lot of quid pro quo. People think that, well, if I spent $50 on you, I want you to spend $50 on me. So if you tell your siblings ahead of time that, hey, I'm going to give to charity in your name, or, you know, I'm going to focus on this for Christmas instead of gift giving, then they can cut down on theirs, and perhaps that eases some of the hard feelings. But Christmas is far more than material gifts.
Alex Petrovic.
Yeah. Communication, again, David hit it on the head, and Sandy as well. But part of that communication could be, if you're part of a large family with cousins and so forth, is maybe it's high school is the cutoff that we don't exchange or give gifts. Or maybe it's at worst when they graduate from college. But, it's talking about those things ahead of time. But those are milestones where you could say that someone now is a, you know, is an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't have to be awarded something every Christmas from distant family members.
One of the best Christmas gifts I ever received, I think it was about 3 years ago. Didn't we have an incredible Christmas Eve blizzard 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
yes.
Christmas Eve.
And,
I do remember that now.
And we were snowed in, and it was fantastic. And we were forced to, you know, focus on one another.
Right.
But more importantly, with all the snow, my son and I ended up outside shoveling the yard and shoveling the driveway, and then pushing people
together,
who got stuck, and shoveling the driveways and sidewalks of our neighbors. And it was like this incredible incredible experience, and that will go down in record for me as my all-time favorite Christmas. So, I mean, just something to think about.
No,
I suppose.
Is. You know, yeah. You think yeah. about the experiences as opposed to the gifts. You know,
yeah.
It's like I can remember my son on his first Christmas, and I bought him all these toys, and he ended up with playing with the pots and pans.
Yeah.
You know, that,
yeah.
The experience of the pots yeah. and pans was the only thing he was interested in.
Oh, that's
in.
So cool.
You
yeah.
know, so it's yeah. like, yeah, you spend all this money for what?
Yeah.
Yeah, we come to a little plug for UMKC, but we do the annual Christmas Carol mm-hmm. and as a family.
Oh, okay, good.
And I always, it's hard not to tear up to watch, you know, the family that is so pleased to have so little, whereas the man that has so much, and then his transformation, uh-huh. so to speak, from the visits from the goats. But those kind of events, again, are wonderful history and of remembrances of, you know, doing something together.
Sandy?
I was on the for years on the board of Metropolitan Lutheran Ministries Foundation, and they have Christmas stores for people who qualify, and there are new items, and people get to come in and shop and pick from the tables new items. And I used to bring my son on the weekend before, where you unload from the trucks and spread it all out. And it was really a nice way to focus on, again, you know, people who have less.
Mm-hmm.
Good memories.
Yeah, that's great memories.
Yeah.
235-2888 is the phone number, and from Grain Valley, Tyler joins us on the line. Hey, Tyler.
Hi. So my best trick that I found for saving money for the holidays, I fully admit that all those tricks the retailers have, I fall for those occasionally.
And, we all do.
Yeah, so I found that if I plan it out beforehand, then my debit card, credit card, all that stuff, I just leave behind and bring cash only. That leaves my choices are very reduced if I do that. And,
yeah. Good point.
I'm guaranteed to stay on budget.
Wow, and this has been successful for you for some time now?
For the past about 4 or 5 years, yeah.
That's great. And, you're getting a big amen from the three in the studio
yeah,
with me.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Good technique.
Yeah.
If I'm shopping, like for groceries and stuff, I don't do that. But for gifts, and if I'm shopping where it's in fun kind of shopping, like gifts and stuff like that, then yeah, I got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. What changed, Tyler, to make you consciously decide that you needed to stay in budget and keep things, you know, in a healthy financial pattern?
It was a few years ago after I got a better job and my finances, suddenly I was in a much better financial situation than I was before. And there was one Christmas where I kind of went overboard. And after that, I realized that, you know, I can't do this. I mean, I love my family and my friends, but I can't just toss money at it.
Yeah.
So.
And things are going well this holiday season as well. You're sticking to your guns and your strategy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm getting much better about not using cards for that kind of thing. I'll take out some cash, then that is my budget. After that, if I'm out of cash, then I'm out of budget. So
yeah,
it works wonderfully.
That's really smart, Tyler. Way you go.
Thanks for the phone call, Tyler.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, I think that was excellent.
Yeah.
That's a good route to go. You can shop with a list. You know who, what, how much.
235-2888, 235-2888 is the phone number to call in to Central Standard. I'm Bill Anderson. Jabalani LaFalle's away today. He returns tomorrow. And we've got the Cash Money Click with us. And they're all financial planning experts. And David Jackson's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sandy Weaver.
Hello.
And Alex Petrovic.
Hi.
Alex, you haven't spoken for a while. Dole out some wisdom.
Well, there's another one that I haven't tested myself, but preparing for the show, I read where someone said that when you go out shopping, say the big ticket item, that's all I'm looking for. I'm not going to, you know, confuse it with some big tickets and small tickets, and just focus on that. And the second alternative, of course, is I'm just going out for small items today, so I don't have to worry about being enticed about, you know, a big ticket that, you know, flat screen, sound bars, new computers, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, you know, if you can reduce stress, you're going to probably make better decisions. So knowing your own self, how you reduce stress, you know, to take advantage of those, you know, whatever those tricks are. Mm-hmm. But it's really important because you go out stressed, you know, the results might be bad.
Yes. I see a couple of heads nodding here.
Another technique you can use is to try to change family traditions, is to start something where you give service hours and give money and allocate that per person. So,
right.
You know, I'm willing to do something for you that will take 4 hours next year. And then my budget for you is, you know, $30.
Yeah.
And you just do that and adopt that strategy within the whole family.
Okay. David?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about Christmases in the past. And when a person has a big ticket item on their list that they really want, and let's just say it's a kid and they really want an iPad or an Xbox or something,
mm-hmm.
and you give them a bunch of other things, but they don't get that one thing, they're still going to be kind of disappointed. So sometimes you need to think, okay, here's my dollar limit that I'm going to spend on you. And if I'm, instead of getting you like 5 or 6 different things, I give you half the money to get that thing that you really, really want. But that's my budget. I think they'll appreciate that more. I've made that mistake before, trying to give people stuff that I thought they wanted as opposed to things that they said they wanted. And, you know, if you concentrate on the things that they want, but just stay within your budget, you know, you're going to feel better about it because they're going to feel better about it.
Sounds like a pretty good teaching moment for a young one.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned some of these lessons the hard way.
Yeah. joining us from Kansas City, Missouri is Lucy. Hi.
Hi.
You're on the air with us, Lucy.
Okay.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi. One thing my friends and I did 1 year, and we've done it periodically since, by the time we were all broke, and we sat down and wrote letters to each other about why we considered them friends, why they were important to us, what we really loved about them. And it was truly a remarkable Christmas. It was just wonderful. We remember it. I don't remember most of the gifts I've ever gotten.
Isn't that true? Yes.
Yeah, that
I certainly do remember that.
Yeah, because that came from the heart. Writing a letter actually comes from the heart.
It really did, and, you know, coming to realize that the best things in life aren't things.
Yes.
That was real proof of that, and we're probably we've talked about doing it again this year, even though none of us are broke anymore.
Yeah.
But that's what meant the most to us.
Nice.
So you're getting back to this real spirit of Christmas, you know,
giving
that.
Hey, one of the co-founders of the Adbusters Media Foundation advocates transforming Black Friday into Buy Nothing Day. Too extreme?
It might be.
It might be.
Thinking about
even for financial planners?
Yeah.
Okay.
Might be.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is we all know the religious connotation behind gift giving. You know,
right.
I'd hate to see us lose that. I would be the first to advocate for scaling back and having a little bit more of a non-commercial, non-material
right.
approach to it. But still, the act of giving something is just – it's wonderful. It brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the phone lines, and I think we've got Andy here calling from Stockton Lake Magazine.
I'm online?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
No, from Stockton Lake, Missouri. I'm listening online.
Oh, okay.
I have always suggested when people ask me what I want for Christmas, you know, if it's a niece or a nephew that want to buy, or, you know, a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law, is magazines. They're inexpensive. I love to get a magazine. I know everybody's got their iPads and things these days, but it's always fun to, you know, have a glossy, you know, high-quality magazine show up, you know, and everybody has different interests. So you can kind of feed that interest throughout the year, and whenever it shows up every single month, you know, you're reminded of their gift. The other thing was, in my family, there were always things that were meaningful and made around Christmas time, like certain Christmas cookies or dishes little trinket-type things that my father used to make. That were really very inexpensive that you can, you know, produce very inexpensively. So those are some of my ideas for some of the things that are inexpensive if you're on a budget where you don't have to go out and spend a bunch of money, and you also don't have to spend a lot of time, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for calling in, Andy.
Yeah,
Kim,
good thoughts.
Kim joins us. Hi, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to add to what he said about the budget thing. My kids, year before last, when my youngest two were old enough to have a DS, they knew the DS they wanted and the games that they wanted were not within our budget. My husband had been out of work for a while. So what they did is they just asked all family members, like aunts and uncles and grandparents, can you just give me money this year so I can pool it all together and buy the one big item I wanted?
Mm.
Excellent
and
approach.
It worked out great for them.
Perfect. Great.
Yep,
good idea, Kim.
Happy holidays, Kim.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
So let's see. Make a budget. Make peace with all the family and friends by agreeing on spending limits. Set expectations. Consider drawing names. Avoid the use of credit cards.
Absolutely.
Remember to help those who are in need.
Right.
Don't shop when you're stressed. Give to charities. Help others. Get a tax deduction in the process. What else? What am I missing here as we wrap this show up today?
Well, I think the FPA would like to give a holiday message to our listeners. And we worked pretty hard on this one. We would like you to avoid parsimony. We would like you to avoid gluttony. We would advocate that you practice prudence for the holidays.
Wow, well, very good. Nice well stated.
Well said.
Now, before we wrap it up here, we've got about 30 seconds each. Biggest holiday spending mistake you ever made, and we'll start with you, Alex.
Oh, boy.
Alex probably hasn't made that mistake.
Well, just overspending. Credit cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, using credit cards, overspending, no plan, didn't save something monthly, like you buy your car, your house, your 401k, and instead just put it on a credit card at the last moment.
Sandy?
In my family, it's not asking them what they want and getting them something that's on their list.
Oh. David?
My biggest one, I got a Christmas bonus from my job, and I went out and bought a little junk sports car that turned out to be worthless.
Hey, by the way, I still haven't gotten the invite to your New Year's Eve party. Must be some mistake.
It's in the mail. It's in the mail.
I'm sure it is. Hey, tune in tomorrow as we explore teaching peace journalism in Uganda with Stephen Youngblood. Our show is produced, by the way, by Matthew Long Middleton. Kim Noble is our announcer. Emily Muter manages our website. Central Standard's theme music is by Miles Bonney. The outro by The Wilnots. Up to Date is next with an examination of the Kansas City Star and Harvest Public Media's investigation into the cattle industry. I'm Bill Anderson. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.